Today's Shem Sakhbar Basra Daf Kuf Mem Dalad. We will begin on Daf Kuf Mem Gimel Amud Beis at the bottom at the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Niach Bonim Gedoyim V'Ktanim. Somebody passed away and he left over children, adults and children. Hishbichu Gedoyim Esen Nechosim. And these adult children make the estate more valuable. Hishbichu Lemtzim. They all share in that improvement, all of the Yarshim. However, in Amru, Rumash Niach Abba, they make a declaration, these Gedolim make a declaration that this is the estate that our father left for us. Hare Anu Oysum V'Oichlim, we're prepared to invest into it, but we're investing it for ourselves. Then the Halach is Hishbichul Atman. The value that it went up goes to themselves because they put the effort in. So clearly the Mishnah is discussing a situation where there are Gedolim and Ketanim sharing this estate. But the Machlokes Rishonim, what would be the halacha if all of the Yorshim are Gedolim, the Gedolim v'Gedolim? So Tosfos says, it doesn't really make a difference if it's Gedolim v'Ketanim or Gedolim v'Gedolim. The din is the same. The reason the Mishnah chose the case of Gedolim v'Ketanim because it makes more sense that the Gedolim, if their brothers are Ketanim, are going to say, you know, we'll work and let our brothers work, children anyway, Nebuch Yisaimim, get a share. But it wouldn't make a difference if we're Gedolim or Gedolim, the din would be the same, that if they make a declaration, then the halacha is that the profit goes only to those who put in the effort. If they don't make a declaration, it goes to the entire estate. The Ravid, however, disagrees with Tosfos. And the Ravid says, specifically in the case of the Mishnah, where it's Gedolim v'Ketanim, do we say that the Gedolim, if they don't make any announcement, mean that it should be shared by all? But if it's a case of Gedolim v'Gedolim, why would the Gedolim work for the other Gedolim for free? And the din would be different. If we think about this Machlokes Rishonim, there are a lot of ramifications the further Rishonim say based on this Machlokes. One question that comes up is the Gedolim, in the first case of our Mishnah, both cases of our Mishnah, are putting in effort in improving this field. So the Mishnah says if they don't make any declaration, everybody shares in the profit. But what about the time that they spend? Do they get paid for their time? So some Rishonim say no. The Mishnah doesn't say they should get paid for the time. Other Rishonim say, the Ritva says, of course they should get paid for the time. That everybody deserves to get paid for their time. Yet other Rishonim make a distinction. If it's Gedolim v'Ketanim, so we say that the older brothers are willing to work and not get specifically compensated if their brothers are Ketanim. Whereas if the brothers are Gedolim, so fine. If they didn't make an announcement, Tosfos holds that the profit is shared, but they certainly deserve to get paid for their time. Another nafka mina is that the Mishnah says that if they make a declaration that they're not working for everybody, that declaration is effective. But the Rishonim debate, where does this declaration have to be made? Some Rishonim say the declaration has to be made in Beis Din. Other Rishonim say, why do you need a Beis Din? As long as you bring Edom and they make the declaration in front of Edom, that's adequate. Yet other Rishonim make a distinction again between if the brothers are Ketanim versus where the brothers are Gedolim. If the brothers are Ketanim, so the declaration should be made in Beis Din. Announcing to Beis Din that we don't want to work for free. So now Beis Din has to see what to do here. Maybe they could get some other people to represent the Ketanim. Maybe they'll say there is no choice and that's what should be done. But if it's that the other brothers are Gedolim, so they could take care of themselves, and there's no reason for the Gedolim who are making this declaration to make the declaration in front of Beis Din, they can make the declaration in front of Edom. Continue the Mishnah. V'kein isha shishbichas nechasim, and the Gemara Mitzvah Shem will identify how is it possible, the Rashbam actually in the Gemara will identify how is it possible that the woman is a Yairish. The same halach applies. The Kaini Isha Shishbichas Nechasim, if she's a Yairish and she improves the Nechasim, Hishbichal Emtsa, they all share in the improvement. However, Amru, Ruma Shinich Libali, Hane Hareini Oisva Chalas, I'm going to do it on my own, there is Loch Hishbichal Emtsa. Says the Gemara, Amrav Chaviva Bereid, Rav Yosef Bereid, the Rav Mishmei, the Rav. Lo Yishanu, El Shachvu Nechasim Machmas Nechasim. Av Shachvu Nechasim Machmas Atzman Hishbichul Atzman. The Rashbam explains the Gemara as follows. He says that the Gemara is saying that when does the issue of our Mishnah come up? It's in a situation where they use their own money to improve the field. So that's when there's a distinction if they made the declaration or didn't make the declaration. But if they use the estate's assets, the estate's money to improve it, then they don't. Then the declaration is irrelevant. If it improves, it improves le'emtza. That's how the Rashbam explains it. That's how we're going to learn the Gemara. However, there are other pshatim rishonim. One pshat in the rishonim draws a distinction between where the improvement was done through just investing money versus where the improvement was done through physical effort. When it was physical effort, that's where if you did or didn't make a declaration, it makes a difference. With just investing money, it doesn't make a difference. A third shot that I saw in the Rishonim is that there's a nafkamina if the improvement was in the actual item itself. That means, let's say there's a field, and they made that piece of real estate more valuable. In other words, let's use a building as an example. You can make a building more valuable because you can improve the building, you can make it better, or you can make a building valuable to you because you rent it out and you get income from the rent. And the Gemara is distinguishing between where you made the building more valuable, there you have to make an announcement, versus in a situation where the income is from outside, there they're certainly entitled to the improvement. Ask the Gemara, is this true? Any Vamram Chanina, Afilo Hanich Lehem Avim Elu Adaini. If the father, again, we're going to learn with the Rashbam's pshat. Does the father left him a pit with water? The lacha is haschal emsa. They share the rental income. Ask the Gemara, v'dayne de machmetz atzmahu. And the way to restrain him, based on the Rashbam's pshat, explain the Gemara's questions as follows. We just made an afkamina between a situation where the improvement was caused by financing the improvement versus a situation where the improvement was made because they did something themselves. Here, how does this water pit become valuable? You need to have constant watching. Why do you need to watch it? For two reasons. Number one, you need to watch it that it shouldn't get dirty. People shouldn't drop schmutz into it. And you need to watch it that other people who didn't pay shouldn't use the water. Now, this is not the kind of job that you could find somebody who will agree to do it. Typically, the person who owns the pit, it's a 24/7 job, and nobody else is going to do it. So this is clearly a situation of machmas atzmai. Yet the Braisa says haschar le'emtza. Answers the Gemara shani daini nilaturusa de avida. What is the job required? The job that's required is watching the pit. Watching the pit, afil ketanim nami matzmatrila. Even a child could watch it. And therefore, what are we saying? That this is only a job that the gedolim could do, the ketanim can't do? It's not true. The ketanim, even though the children, are able to watch it. Ask the Rashba, yes, you don't have to be an adult to watch a pit. But you have to be a child that's at least certain age old, a child in a crib, an infant, can't do this either. So how do we explain the Gemara that was saying that children could do it? So the Rashba says that there's a concept of Nesata Derech L'Shurim. Chazal, when they make rules, can't start making that up to certain age, the prophet will go to the brother who does it. Afterwards, even the children could do it. Chazal said that since this is a job that could be done by children, it's not the regular situation. However, there are other Rishonim that indeed say that when the Gemara says that even though the brothers are Ketanim, they could do the job, the Gemara doesn't mean all Ketanim, because not all Ketanim could do this job. It only means Ketanim who are old enough to watch. Amru. And therefore they made an announcement. Ru, Mashaniach Abba, Harei Ono Oysim V'Oichlim. If they make this declaration, then the halacha is Ishbichul Atzman. And the prophet goes to the brothers who did the work. Says the Gemara, Rav Safra Shavak Avu Zizi. Rav Safra's father left over money. Shiklinu, he took that money, Ovid Bar Iska, and he did business with that money. Also Achi, his brothers, who were obviously Tanim, Tova Bedina Kamei Derava, took him to Rav and said, you didn't make an announcement that you want the profit to go to yourself, and therefore we should all share in the profit. Amalu, and the Rishonim point out that the issue here is not the time Rav Safra spent. Certainly the time Rav Safra spent, he's entitled to get paid for his day's work. The issue is the profit. Amalu, so the Bezdin Paskin, Rav Safra Gav Rabahu, Rav Safra is a great individual, but Shtovik Girsev Tarach Lachrini. He doesn't need, the way the Rishonim explained this Gemara is, there is no need for him to make an announcement. It's obvious that Rav Safra's time, who is so precious, sitting and learning, he wouldn't just go and invest time in working with this estate, that he should have to share it with others. So even though he didn't officially make the declaration that was spoken about in our Mishnah, he doesn't have to make the declaration. It's obvious that that's what he meant. That's how the Rashbam explains the Gemara. The Rashba, Ritva explained the Gemara, it's not that much of a nafkamina in the following way. Somebody passed away, and he left Yisoyimim, and in his will, he appointed Rav Safra to be the apotropos, the administrator of this estate. Now the halacha is that if somebody is appointed to be an apotropos, if he wants to get paid for those efforts, he has to clearly speak out at the beginning of his tenure that he's not doing this for free. Rav Safra assumed the responsibility, but never made the stipulation. It says the Gemara that he doesn't have to make the stipulation. It's obvious that Rav Safra wouldn't have left the yeshiva to take on this position if not that he was going to get paid for his efforts. Interesting shaila in the Paiskim. The Gemara is identifying Rav Safra as a Talmud Chacham, and certainly a person like Rav Safra wouldn't spend this time if he weren't getting reimbursed. Question is, in many areas of Halacha, the Gemara and throughout Shas distinguishes between a Talmud Chacham and someone else. For example, the Halacha is somebody who's Tarasoim Nasoi, doesn't have to say Davin, doesn't have to say Krishma. But the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, in all of those circumstances, says we don't have such a Talmud Chacham nowadays. It's interesting to note that the Shulchan Aruch quotes this halacha. And the Shulchan Aruch or the Ramah don't make a comment, but there's nobody in that category nowadays. Says the Sma, that even though in many areas of halacha, we say that nowadays nobody's in that category of being a Talmud Chacham, when it comes to this subject, certainly people are considered Talmid Chacham nowadays. And if you have a person who spends all of the time, all of his free time learning, and now he doesn't learn, he takes away from his time to go spend time working or investing the money, it's obvious that he's only doing it because he could profit, and he doesn't have to make the announcement, and that halacha even applies nowadays. So we learned in the second part of our Mishnah, the profit goes to everybody. Ask the Gemara, how does it ever come that the wife is a partner? Amrav Yimriya, Bishi Yereshes, is referring to a situation where the wife is a Yerush. So the Rishbam and all the Rishonim spend time trying to identify how is a wife a Yerush. So it's interesting, the simplest pshat, but the Rishbam says it only as his third pshat, is that the Mishnah is referring to a situation where a husband identified and wrote a will that he wants his wife to be his Yerush. To me, that was the obvious pshat. It's interesting why nobody says that as the first pshat. I was thinking perhaps the reason it's not considered the first pshat, because if it was done that way, she's not really a Yerush. It's really, she's a matana, that the husband's giving her a gift, that she should get a share of the estate. But the Mishnah calls her a Yerushes, and that's why the Rishonim avoid that pshat. So the other pshat the Rishonim say, all work around a similar situation, variations of one situation. The halacha is that one is allowed to marry his niece. So we have two brothers, Reuven and Shimon. Reuven married Shimon's daughter. And Shimon then passed away. And then Yaakov, who's the father of Reuven and Shimon, passes away. Who is the Yerushim of Yaakov? Reuven. And Shimon only had this daughter. So she takes over her father's place. So she with her husband are the Yorushim of Yaakov. And that's the case that the Mishnah is referring to, that she's a Yorush here, because part of the estate that he left over is she also has connection to from her father Shimon. But Tarsus right away points out the problem with this pshat, is that the Gemara calls her Reuven's Yorush, her husband's Yorush. She's not her husband's Yorush, she's her grandfather's Yorush. So all the pshatim have a problem. But whatever pshatim we're going to learn, that's the case that the Mishnah is making. Ask the Gemara. So if she's a Yorush, so obviously the same din that we had in the Reisha applies in the Sefer. If she didn't make an announcement, then she gets, then the improvements are shared. If she did make an announcement, then they're not shared. What's the Mishnah have to speak about this case specifically? Answers the Gemara. Ma pshita, ma detem kim delav darka lemitrach. Usually women in those times didn't run estates. So we would say, afgav deloy pirish, even though she didn't make this declaration, we should say, k'moy de pirish tami, we should take for granted it's as if she made this declaration, and therefore she should get the profit, kamash malon, that there's another side to the coin. The fact that all the Yorushim trust her and say she should manage the estate is such a covet, and therefore it's not considered automatic as if she made the declaration. If she made it, fine. If she didn't, it's not considered as if she did. Answers the Gemara. Vim amar ruma shenich li bale, as I just said, hareini ois v'chelos hashvich la'atzam. Pshita. Maritem kim d'shvich lo'y masla. Since it's a great honor to her, damaka tarchi kam yasmi, that the Yisoyimim chose her to administer the estate, achuli achli, even if she made the announcement, kamash malam. Says the Gemara, new Gemara. Arav Chanina. Hamasi ish l'bnei agodl. If somebody marries off his son, his oldest son, b'bayis, in a house, if somebody builds a house and marries off his son in that home, kanoi, the house becomes the chasas. However, the Gemara makes a number of stipulations. V'dask godl, his oldest son, and the Farshim say it doesn't have to be that the son is his oldest child. It's his oldest son. But he could have daughters that are older than that son. The daska if he's marrying a psula. The daska if ishter rishona, if it's the son's first marriage. The davka should see a rishon, and specifically if this is the first wedding that the father is making. So if all of these conditions are met, we assume that the house that he built, he's giving to the son. However, the rishonim make a number of further stipulations. They say that this din only applies if the father has his own home. But if the father doesn't own his own home, we can't assume that the father is building a home for the son without himself having a home. Furthermore, the Rishonim point out that it's specifically when the father is making the wedding. But let's say this son, Nebuch, doesn't have a father, he's a yosim, he's an orphan, and his mother's marrying him off, then this wouldn't apply. Specifically when a father's making the chasana. Continues the Gemara. Pshita, yichloi aviv bayis v'liyah. If the father built a two-story home, bayis kana liyah kana. He only gets the first story. Who needs a two-story home? Bayis v'chsadri mahu. Ask the Gemara, what happens if he built a home and has a porch in front of it? Or, shnei batim zulif nimazu. We had this case many times. The way the house is constructed, you need to walk through the outer apartment to get into the inner apartment. Are the home and the porch, or these two partners considered one, that the son will get both or not? The Gemara remains with a tekel. Ask the Gemara, Meisvei Yichloi Aviv Bayis. If the father built him a house, the Kli Bayis, and not only in the house, but he put in furniture in the house, the Halacha is Kli Bayis Kana, Bayis Loi Kana. The son only becomes the owner of the furniture, not of the house. So how do we understand this? We said that the son becomes the owner of the house. Answers the Gemara. If the father left there, used the house as a warehouse, that's an indication that the father meant not to give him the house. If the father left his bird in the house, that too again is an indication that the father wanted to keep the house for himself. Rabbi Yehuda Rapapi Amri, even if he left there a pot with fried fish, again, is an indication that the father wanted to keep it for himself. Says the Gemara, Mazutra Atzbe Lebrei, Rav Zutra married off his son, Vitalei Sandla, and he hung up shoes. Again, an indication that he's keeping it. Rav Ashi Nazba Lebrei, Rav Ashi married off his son, Vitalei Ashish the Mishcha, and he hung up there a barrel of oil to prove that he wants to keep it. And as the Rishaydim explained this Gemara, there's one point to all these cases. Certainly, if the father went and made an announcement, made a declaration, I'm building this house for the wedding, but I want to keep it, there's no discussion. Then the house doesn't become the son's. What the Gemara is teaching us is even if this announcement wasn't made, but all the father did was show by hanging up or leaving these various items that he wants to keep the house, that is in place of making any announcements, and the son won't keep the house. However, I did see that the Rishonim make an interesting point. The only item that could be left in the house that will prove that the father wants to keep the house is something that isn't used for the wedding. You don't need shoes for a wedding. So there we say that since the father put the shoes there, why was he trying to show that he wants to keep the house for himself? But let's say what he kept in the house was something that you need for the wedding, food that was used at the wedding. So leaving that type of item in a house is not an indication that the father wants to keep the house for himself. And there the halacha would be, unless there was another indication, or unless the father made a declaration, the house would go to the son. Says the Gemara, Amram Mizutra, Hani Tlas Mili, the following three halachas, Shavin Rabbana Hilchas Abloy Tama. The way most Rishonim explain this Gemara is now we're going to learn, and we've learned these halachas, are halachas that we can't really, that we have a hard time understanding. But Chazal, because they have the authority of Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker, had the right to establish these three halachas. Another way that the Rishonim explained the following Gemara is that we've discussed many times that for a transaction to be considered halachically valid, you have to have a real kinyan. Here we're going to have transactions that don't really have the traditional sense of a kinyan, the traditional definition of a kinyan, yet they're considered valid kinyonim. What are they? Chadaha. This is a perfect example. If I want to give you a house, we have to make a kinyan. Here, I'm just building a house, making a wedding in the house. There is no halachic kinyan, yet it becomes the son's. Idach, halach that we spent a lot of time in the previous parak discussing. The will is very explicit that the father is give, that the husband is writing over all of his estate to his wife. Yet as we explained in the previous parak, we assume that no father would completely disinherit his children and give everything to his wife. So even though this is what it says black and white on the will, we say he only meant to make her apotropos. Idach, Damaraf, Manali Biyotcha, Tanei Laplani, Bamam Shloshtan Kiana. This is a new type of kinyan, which is known as the kinyan of Mamet Shloshtan. That means, if I owe you money, and you and I, and someone else are standing here, and you say to me that instead of paying me the money you owe me, please give it to that other individual, even though there was no formal act of kinyan, it's still considered a valid act of kinyan, and now I owe the money to that other individual, not to you. And as the Rishonim point out, if it were a situation of a pikadon, where I'm holding something of yours, and you tell me, instead of returning to me the item that you're holding that belongs to me, give it to someone else, it wouldn't be a chiddush. Here the chiddush is that I owe you money. And we know milva loitzonitna, so I really don't have anything tangible in my pocket or in my being, in my belongings that's yours. Yet, it's an invalid king. Says the Shach, lahalocha, that even though we're learning Mamet Shloshtan Kana, Mamet Shloshtan requires that you say it. Let's say you write the instruction, that's not called Mamet Shloshtan, because it doesn't give that kind of publicity. So, of course, the question that the Pesach can discuss is what would be if we had a conference call, where it's you, me, and this third individual, on a conference call, and you give me instruction on the conference call, give it to that individual instead of returning it to me. Would that qualified to be a kinyan mamet shloshtan? Some paiskim say, of course, all three of us here. But there are other paiskim, and it works beautifully with this gemara. Our gemara is teaching us that mamet shloshtan is a chiddush. And perhaps, ein by el chidushai, Only the specific circumstances that Chazal established are considered Mamet Shloshtim. Anything else is not going to qualify to be a Mamet Shloshtim. Says the Mishnah, Achan HaShotzer. There's actually a machloikis. What is the proper girsa of this Mishnah? Some Rishonim say that the girsa is Achan HaShotzer. So you have actually two things happening at the same time. These individuals are brothers, and not only are they brothers, but they're partners. So when you have these two concepts coming together, brothers and partners, Shunafel Echemem L'Omnes, and one of them gets a job, and we're going to describe this a little more in the Gemara. The Halach is Nafel Emtzah, they have to share that profit. Chol of Nisrapa. However, if one of the brothers gets ill, and money needs to be spent for his doctor bills, the Halach is Nisrapa Mishal Atzimai, we spend money, he has to spend his own funds for the doctor bills. And the Gemara will explain all of these dinim right now. Tana, Hai Umnus, Umnus Lamela. When the Mishnah says that if the brother is appointed to a position, the position is given, that the profit that he makes is given to the estate, what does it mean? It means that the king asked this brother to be the tax collector. And the Bryce explains it a little more, elaborates. Tan Rabbon, Ech Men Achim, Shemnu Gabi Apomustus. One of the brothers that was appointed to be the tax collector, Im Machmus Achim, if he was appointed to this position because of the brothers, La Achim, then the man, that the money he earns in that position is given to the, shared by all the brothers. However, in Machmas Atzmai, it was given this position because of his own qualification, La Atzmai. Ask tomorrow, in Machmas Achim La'achim, it was given this position because of the brothers, then they share the profit, Shita. What's the Shchidish? Says the Gemara, La'itzricha d'charv tfei. That this brother is the sharpest, is the most talented. Ma'adatay m'churfe garmalei. So I would think that is a factor, and therefore he should get the entire profit. So now let's explain the Gemara. Number one, the way it worked with tax collection in those times was that there wasn't an IRS that was appointed to collect the taxes. Every month, the government would appoint somebody else from a different family to collect the taxes. And the way most Rishonim explained the Gemara is that the government would tell them, you have to collect the taxes, you have to deliver that money by a certain date, but until you deliver the money, you could use the money for whatever you want. And you could go and invest that money and make profit. So the Gemara is distinguishing, if he was appointed his position because of the family, so then the profits are shared by the family. If he was appointed this position because of his own talent, has nothing to do with his brothers. How do we know what the reason was? So the Rishonim give a number of pshatim. One pshat they say is that let's say the father had this job all the years. So it's pretty clear that the reason that this brother was appointed to this position is because the continuing the chazakah that the father had. Another pshat is that the king says, I'm giving it to this family, because here in Nebuch we have a terrible story. The father of this family passed away. So I have rachmanis on this family. So how can I give it, I'll give them an opportunity to earn some money, I'll give them the job of being tax collector. Another pshat is that typically this position were given to wealthy families. And this is indeed a wealthy family. So we see it's because of the family that he was appointed to this position. A fourth pshat is that typically, this goes back to ancient times, how did you get this position? You had a bribe to get the position. So how did this family get this position? They bribed the government. So which money did they use? They used the family estate to bribe the government. So obviously it's because of them that they're entitled to this. They all share. Furthermore, the price can say, they're sharing the profit. They can't go 50, it can't go halfway. You have to, if you're sharing the profit, if they invest this money and they lose money, they have to share in the loss also. Now again, the price can discuss a very fundamental question. This brother who's spending time being the tax collector, so yes, the Gemara clearly, the Mishnah, the Gemara clearly teach us that they share the profit. But what about the daily rate that he works every day? Does he get paid separately for that or not? And the truth of the matter is, the Pesukim say that this is not a question limited to this scenario that we're discussing. It comes up in different situations. Let's say you have two people who are partners in a business. And then one of the partners has an ability to do whatever job, and he earns money. So the question is, the money that he's earned, does he keep for himself? Or does the money that he earns go into the business? And the answer to the question, again, this is a very important question, is how do we view their relationship? If we view this business that 9 to 5, these people are obligated to this business, they're going to take from the business their salary, but their time is owed to the business. So if they earn money on 9 to 5, anything they earn during that time has to be put into the business. If, on the other hand, they're not salaried on a 9 to 5 basis, then they would not have to give any side earnings that they make into the business. And the same thing here. If these brothers are all living off the estate and drawing salary, so then he's not entitled to a separate salary. Otherwise, he is entitled to a separate salary. Continues the Gemara. Tarabon. Echem and Achem Shnotel Masayim Zuz. One of the brothers took 200 Zuz to go off Lilma Tyro Lilma Omnis. To learn Tyro to take Omnis. And he says, this is what I need to live. Yechaylam Achem Lai Maloi. The other brothers could tell him, Imata Atzleinu, if you live with us, Yesh Lecham Zaynus, you're entitled, like all of us, to a stipend. In Ata Atzleinu, but if you don't remain with us, Ein Lecham Zaynus, you're not entitled to a stipend. So as Rishonim clarified, it's Gemara. One Chiddush, the Itter says that the Gemara is teaching us, is that even though this brother is going to yeshiva, he's going to learn Torah. That doesn't change the halacha. Not only that, say the Rishonim, as the wording of the Braisa says, Shanata Masayim Zuz, he already took the money. Doesn't change the halacha. He had no right to take that money. Ask the Gemara, what's the difference if he's here or he's elsewhere? If he's a brother and he's a partner here, he's entitled to his share. Answers the Gemara, V'sayle l'Rav Huna. Dam Rav Huna, Birchas HaBayis Kruva. It's very different when you're living on your own than when you're living part of a family. And the way the Rishonim explain is very simple. Two pshatim, 2 points. One is there's a certain fixed cost. In other words, if I live in a house and they're using electricity, so the same electricity that's used for me is used for you. We don't have to have a separate electricity bill or other fixed costs, gas, heating, air conditioning. Those are fixed costs. Furthermore, when there are many people living together, there's a bracha that comes in to the rabbi. So if you can't compare cooking for one person versus cooking for a group of people, it's always cheaper per individual to cook for a group that to cook for an individual. Ask them, fine. The person is going to, it's going to be more expensive to live on your own than to live part of a family. So he's living on his own, so he shouldn't be entitled to that much, but he's entitled to something. Let's take the Birch Sabayis in consideration and then deduct it, but still give him something. That indeed is true. So as Taisa says, how do you make this calculation? So Taisa says the way you make the calculation is you see what last year he was here. So let's say there are 5 brothers. So last year they had 5 brothers living together, and this year you have only 4 brothers living together. The difference in cost between 5 brothers and the 4 brothers is the amount that this 5th brother who went off to yeshiva or to college is going to get. So the Mishnah said, Chalav Nisrapa, Nisrapa Mishalatzman. If he got ill, he has to spend his own money for the doctor bills. Sholach Rav Mishmei the Rebbe Loi. Loi Shanel Shechol B'Pshia. When is the halacha that he has to pay his own medical bills? Is if he got sick, he caused himself to get sick. Av B'Oinus, if it was an Oinus, the Srapim Min Emsa. Then the halacha is that they all share in his doctor bills. However, Tosfos makes the following distinction. Tosfos quotes a Tosefta. Taisa says as follows. If it's a refuah sheyesh lekitzva, refuah sheyesh lekitzva means that somebody has to get sick and he needs a treatment, and the treatment has a specific price. even though, this is the way most Mepharshim say Pshat Mashop, say Pshat and Taisus, even though it was Ba'oinus, but since it was something that has a kitzvah, so that isn't taken out of the family estate. It's only if you have two conditions met. Number one, that he got sick Ba'oinus, and number two, the deductibles, we can't know exactly what it's going to cost, then it's Mina Emsa. Ask the Gemara, Hechidam Pshia, what is the definition of Pshia? Kidrab Chanina. Don Rab Chanina, Hakub B'dei Shemayim, everything's B'dei Shemayim, what happens to a person, Chutz Mitzinim Pachim. Shenema, Tzinim Pachim Derech Ikesh, Shemin Nafshe Yechim. So everything's B'dei Shemayim, Chutz Mitzinim Pachim. Ask Taisvis, the Gemara says, the Pasuk says, the Gemara in Masechta Bava Tzi discusses that Pasuk. Ve'esi Hashem cho kom mach kol choyli zutzina. So you see that Sina is also in the hands of Hashem. So he answers Taisvis, what the Pasuk means is ve'esi Hashem cho kol Sina, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu will give you coat, the Kodesh Baruch Hu will give you clothing, he'll give you money that you'll be able to buy clothing, and therefore I'll be able, that you won't have a problem of getting sick. In fact, there's a beautiful verse from the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. The pasuk says, "V'heise Hashem chokol choyli, k'ani Hashem reifecha." He says, "What does the pasuk have to add with the end with the words k'ani Hashem reifecha?" The pasuk already begins, "V'heise Hashem chokol choyli," that you won't get sick. Answers the Aruch Chaim, beautiful. "V'heise Hashem chokol choyli" means that all diseases HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take away from us. Our Gemara just said that Sinim and Pachim are not in Hashem's hands. We control it if we're going to get sick because of cold or heat. It's a cold day and you go out without a coat, you're going to get sick. Or it's a hot day and you don't take care of yourself, you may get heat stroke. So now the Pasuk is saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu couldn't prevent you from getting sick. What the Pasuk tells us is that even though you caused yourself to get sick, Kani Hashem Refecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make you healthy. Ask Taisus, how does the Gemara say, Hakub B'dei Shemayim, Chutz Mitzinim Pachim, where the Pasuk says, Hakub B'dei Shemayim, Chutz Meyiru Shemayim? Answers Taisus, that they're two separate concepts altogether. There's one concept that refers to health, that's what our Gemara is saying. There's another concept that's considered regarding midas, regarding our actions, that has to do Chutz Meyiru Shemayim. But then I saw a very nice pshat that connects actually the two memories. And they say, Hakav Dei Shemayim Chutz Mitzinim Pachim doesn't mean, as we've been explaining it, cold and hot. Shchet is like this. There's certain times a person has to be cold. When does a person have to be cold? When he's challenged to do an Aveira. So instead of getting all excited about doing the Aveira, he has to stay cold and not react to the Aveira. Certain times a person has to get worked up. If he has an opportunity to do a mitzvah, you know, in Mesil Sesharim discusses reasons. He has to work up an excitement. Hakub Dei Shemayim. Everything's a Dei Shemayim, Chutz Meyir Shemayim. What does Yir Shemayim entail? Sinim Apachim. How do we know a person's a Yir Shemayim? But he's cold, he's Sinim when it comes to doing a Veira, and he's Pachim, he's excited when it comes to doing a mitzvah. Actually, the Mepharshim discuss what does Pachim mean. Many Mepharshim say that Sinim and Pachim is one and the same. Pachim is like a stumbling block. Getting, exposing yourself to the cold, and Chas V'Shalom getting the flu, is considered a stumbling block. But there are many Paiskim that say Sinim means cold. It seems that Tzatayus learns that Pachim means heat. And the Miches Yitzchak uses that. The question that comes up is, let's say it's a very hot Shabbos and you forgot to put on your air conditioning. So the question is, are you allowed to ask a goy to come and put on your air conditioning? Because the halacha is the b'mokum mitzvah, a shvus, shvus to shvus, we could be a little more lenient. So he says that since here, asking, the Gemara says that pachim is considered a disease, it could be, a pachim may mean heat, being exposed, especially nowadays we're accustomed to living with air conditioning, it may be mutter to call in a guy to put on the air conditioner. Then I saw a very interesting question. Halacha l'maisa. Let's say somebody got the flu, he got pneumonia, because he exposed himself to the cold, and he got sick. So the question is, does he bench Goimel? Does he say the Brichas HaGoimel? Because our Gemara just said that this wasn't your fault. It wasn't Hashem's causing you. So if you caused yourself to get sick, so then you shouldn't say Brichas HaGoimel. You should have not caused yourself to get sick. So the Paiskim actually debate this question. Most Paiskim are of the opinion that even if somebody had pneumonia, had the flu, he should say Brichas HaGoimel, even though he brought it upon himself. Why? Because the Gemara, we also just quoted the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, Kani Hashem Rifecha, that even if it was you that got yourself sick, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu that sends you the refuah. So the Brichas HaGoimel is thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he sent you the refuah, refuah Shleima. Actually, the Pesach can also say that you shouldn't say the Brichas HaGoimel until you know for sure that you're okay. One final vart. Here our Gemara says that Hakab de Shemayim Chutz Mitzim Mepachim. So I saw a wonderful story quoted from Mechesk Labramsky. Mechesk Labramsky says that when during World War II, he was exiled to Siberia, where obviously it's very cold. And every day they made the prisoners go out without coats, without shoes, in the freezing cold. And he said he, as a child, was very delicate, and he always was getting sick, and his mother always had to watch him. And yet here, he was exposed to this bitter cold, and he never got sick all the years in Siberia. Our Gemara says, Hakob de Shemaim Chutz Mitzin Mepachim. So he says, that's only if you put yourself into that situation. So if you go out on a freezing day without a coat, you can't have a claim to God, why did I get sick? He says he didn't go to Siberia voluntarily. It was Nebuch the war. He was exiled there, so there HaKadosh Baruch Hu even watched him and had seen him apart. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should always watch us. We begin now the sugyas of Shishbinus. And as we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem, Siyat D'Shmaya, Shishbinus means that in those days you went to a wedding. It's no different nowadays, but it's a little more formal. That if you went to a wedding, you gave a gift, you participated in the wedding, and then when you get married, the person who you participated and gave and participated in the wedding has to do the same for you. So says the Mishnah. If the brothers did shishbinus when the father was alive, so they took money from the father to give a gift. Now when one of them get married, the money that's given by that chosin, the money that's given to them as a gift, doesn't belong to the chosin, it belongs to the estate. Because Shishbinus Nigbus Bebezdin, as we're going to learn tomorrow, Shishbinus is considered a halva. However, Avashaleich Lachaver Kadi Yayin Kadi Shemen, if I just send a gift, Ein Nigbus Bebezdin, that's something that can't be collected in Bebezdin, because that's obviously Shnei Gmilas Chsodim. And as the Rishonim explained, there was a formal method to the Shishbinus. And sending wine wasn't part of the Shishbinus process, and therefore you have no right to ask for the Shishbinus back. Ask the Gemara of Verminu, the Brisa says, Shalach loy of Shishbinus, if the father sent him Shishbinus, Kishachazeres, Chazeres loy. If the father sent you to give Shishbinus to somebody else, when you get married, you keep the Shishbinus. Mishdach loyaviv Shishbinus, Kishachazeres, Chazeres min Antsa. And to the Gemara, Amr of Asi, Amr of Yochid, keep na nam misnisen. When the Mishnah says that it's sent, Mishtachel Oviv Tanan. It said that it meant that it was sent to the father. Ask the Gemara, V'achem Sh'osim K'tzosim Shishbinus. Doesn't the Mishnah clearly say that it's the brothers that made the Shishbinus? Answers the Gemara, Tani L'miktzosim. Doesn't mean that some of them made Shishbinus, but they returned to some of them. Ask the Gemara, V'chazer Shishbinus K'tani. Answers the Gemara, Hakkama, Chazer Ligvis. If the family estate, they got Shishbinus, when they repay, they have to pay from the estate. Ravasiyam aloy kasha. Kam bestam, kam mefarsh. The Rishonim explained the Gemara as follows. This is the simple Pshat in the Gemara. If my father didn't say that he's sending Shishbinus, he sent you, one of the sons, to give the Shishbinus, but he didn't say he's sending you because you're going to your friend's wedding. He just happened to pick you from the sons. You were the most convenient. Then it belongs to the state. But if he's sending you because you're a friend of the chassan, then it goes to you. Loi kasha. Kan. Bistam. Kan b'mfash. Gretanya. Sholach loi aviv. the father pointed you because you are a friend of the chassan. Kisha chazeres, chazeres loy, it goes back to you. Sholach aviv shishbina stam. But if the father just happened to pick on you, not because it has anything, not that you have a specific relationship, kisha chazeres, then it's considered that it was sent from the state, and when now it's returned, it's chazeres lem, so it's returned to the state, not to any one specific brother.